Anyway, integration. In the last talk, you heard a very interesting presentation and lots and lots and lots of code. No code in this one. This is meant to be more inspirational. So, what is integration? Everybody knows that it's a good thing, but what is it? I have my own definition, and it's when two or more components can exchange data with each other. That's when we have reached integration. And you can do this in a number of ways. You can use protocols that are open and understood by both parties. You can use file formats that are understood by both parties, which is pretty loose integration. And you can do it by having a function in a library that everybody can use, every application in this case. Or you can embed an application into another application, like, for instance, Conquer against Logic Keyboard and so on. And if we look at the integration technologies within the free desktop, or more specifically KDE, we have libraries, for instance, KIO. Everybody can use them. We have cut and paste, drag and drop, pretty simple examples. But still, if you have an application that can give another application some form of data, you have still to be able to produce it in the format that the other application can use, right? Then we have things like KPorts, where viewers or editors can embed other things into itself to be able to handle new data types. And we have the more generic example, plugins. I don't know if everybody here was at the Plasma conference yesterday, but we heard a lot of plugins there. And this is on a sliding scale. If you go down in this list, you will be more powerful, but you will also be more specific to a single application. One plugin, for instance, for a model won't work in K-Chart or whatever. On the other hand, if you go up, if you implement the functionality in the library, you can have it used by more applications. Okay, we don't only need to integrate within the desktop, we need to integrate with other things too. And here, once again, we see KIO, but not in this case, I don't mean that the KDE applications can use it. I mean that we can integrate with services or file formats or file services on other machines. we can integrate with a number of external services. Examples of this are the web app in Plasma that connects to a weather service somewhere, I don't know where. It's probably very different if you're in the United States or in Sweden or in Germany. Panoramio is a service that Google has that where you can put up images that are geotagged, so they are shown when you show a map or something like that on that area that you show photos from. And of course, KOffice with our file filters is a very generic example. But the main point of this is that integration has a value in itself. If you have an application that has a number of features and it integrates with other applications in better or worse ways, this will make the user work more efficiently. He or she can switch from one application to another, use the data produced in one application in the other just by cutting and pasting or drag and dropping or whatever. So integration has a value in itself. And how should we think about integration? Well, we can integrate in a number of ways, but every time we do something on our own project, like decide what to do next for the next version, we should always ask ourselves, how can I connect and use other application frameworks to enhance the value of my own application? Or, how can I restructure or reformat my project to make it easier for others to use? And this can either be as a whole, for instance, to if you have an application, also provide it as a K-part, and thereby allow things to embed it, Conquer, for instance. Or in parts, you can split out libraries, you can create plugins, whatever. And then you have to tell people about it, because otherwise they won't be able to use it. And telling in this case means both marketing, You have to tell people that it's available, but also documentation, of course. And the one thing that's very important to do is to lower the barrier to using what you're producing. If you provide something that's very useful but also very difficult to use in one way or another, less people will use it. It's a simple thing, but you always have to think, lower the barriers. And good example of this is K.I.O., which is used by default. If you just use the KDE file browser, for instance, the file dialog, you will immediately be able to store or load your files from any file on the network. Phonon is another good example. If you want to produce sounds in your application, you can just use it to a few lines of code. Not so good at example is, I hesitated to bring this up because I don't want to throw stones at other targets, but if you look at the roadmap for GNOME 2.24, the next version, I think, it has no less than 9 times in the roadmap saying, integrate with GIO, GNFSYS, which is the new GNOME equivalent of KIO. And I don't know if this means that every application except these 9 ones will not be able to use network file systems, or if these are just difficult cases that are, for some reason, can't use GIO from the start. But you shouldn't have to do that. Things should go automatically as far as possible. I'm going to show a couple of examples here from KDE, and mostly from my own projects where I've been working. This guy here is Thorsten Bahn, also known as Tacket, and I think almost everybody here knows him because he's talking about Marvel all the time. And there is actually Marvel's talk, I think, just before lunch, and I won't go into details about Marvel itself. But I'm going to talk about the architecture of Marvel. And when Thorsten created Marvel, he wrote a manifesto where he said this, among lots of other things. Marvel is meant to become for geobrowsers what HTML or WebKit is for web browsers already. And this means that he wanted it integrated everywhere. He wants everybody to use Marvel, and he wants everybody to use the Marvel services, as he named them. And this means that we have within Marvel to provide ways for other people to use it. Aaron, do you have Marvel on this one?
Yes.
How can I help? Okay, so here's the first take of the Marvel architecture. We have the Marvel widget, and we all know that widgets are available in other applications, right? We have the Marvel model, which is kind of hidden, and we have the control box, which is just another widget. And the Marvel application itself is very simple. It just creates a main window and connects some signals and nothing more. So what can be done with this? Here's an example. I guess that Coase Gilliam in the other room is talking about exactly this right now. This is DigiCam. What he did was that he integrated the Marvel widget into the DigiCam application, and thereby immediately making the user able to geotag the images and show where they're taken on a map. There's also Qt-only application, Qt-only main window for the mobile widget, which is not KDE-based, which immediately makes it available to, for instance, Windows CE and things like that, where KDE is not working. But this is not good enough. How can we make it better? Okay, the widget itself. The problem with the widget is that not everything is available. Not everything is can use widgets. When we started out Plasma, for instance, could. Now it can, but it couldn't from the start. So we separated and we factored the mobile widget into two classes. The mobile widget itself, which is kind of similar to what it was before, but it has, there's a new class called mobile map. And the only difference is that mobile map can paint the map on any QPaint device. And a widget, of course, is a QPaint device, so the mobile widget now is a bit wrapper around the mobile map. We also split the application into a K-part, which makes Conqueror available for showing maps and stuff, and the application, which is now even thinner than before, as a layer outside. And what could be done now? Well, here's the model in a flat point. This is the, I don't know what it's called actually, but it shows where it's day and where it's night on the Earth. And to make this application was, as I understand it, pretty simple. Just take the model map, paint on the plasmoid, and give it a few parameters, for instance, what the time is, and the center of the display. That's it. There's also a shape for KOffice that uses model map. So anybody who creates a document of any kind can embed a map. Interactive if you're running KOffice, but static if you're running, for instance, OpenOffice or something like that. But still, it's very simple to create a map within a document. But we're still not happy enough. So we added plugins. Plugins are based on Q plugin in this case. I won't be showing code because it's pretty simple to do. But with this, we can easily extend our integration features to integrate with other things outside KDE or outside the mobile application. And I would love to show you this, but I can't because this is a summer code project that's not ready yet. Panorameo is a service by Google, I think I explained it earlier, to be able to geotag images and show them on the map. You can zoom in and out, and it's very interactive. That's also an integration with Twitter. Tucker told me this just before here, and I haven't seen it myself. But this is all done by students who don't know the internals of Marvel, but they do know the very small API for the plugin. Okay, KOffice. Aaron, do you have KOffice yet? Okay, so I can share that. But the KOffice Office Suite is like 800,000 lines of code right now, and everything is a plugin. We have something called Shapes, where you can create some visual item like a square to be on the simple end of the scale, or something like the mobile plugin, for instance, a map or a music sheet with this. And color spaces, everything is a plugin. So it's very easy to start coding in KOffice. I'd love really to show you, but since this computer doesn't have a model, KOffice account. Also, it's structured to be able to give opportunities for other applications to use things in KOffice. For instance, there's a library called KOODF. KOffice document format library. And this is not released yet because it's going to be released not for 2.0 but for 2.1, I think, which will make every application in KDE give them the possibility to create open document files. Possibly also read it. Here's a third example. It's a commercial application called Tinning, which is given by which is created by the company where I work. And the point is not here to show you that what the application does or what the program how it works, but this is one of the first images that we show everybody when we make a presentation of Tinning. And the idea is to show it that it integrates with everything. We can integrate with file servers of all the kinds, with authentication servers. We can integrate with various operating systems and stuff. And integration itself has a value. So this is one of the reasons why our product has been successful. I'm not going into Tinning anymore, just to show that integration is the most important thing. That's why we showed them the first image. So here's the actual point of my speech. I think that if you have an application or a project and you restructure it to be able to use other services and give the opportunity for other services to use your product, you will be able to get more users than adding any other feature. I can't prove it, but I think that it's the actual truth. And as an example, I give you this. This is Mumble, once again, integrated with OpenStreetMap. And I don't know if you're aware of OpenStreetMap. It's one of the big open content projects where people all around the world walk around or cycle or go by car with GPSs. They record the tracks, send them in, and create a street map on that. And currently there are 50,000 users, 50,000 contributors to OpenStreetMap. And the data set created by them is greater than Wikipedia already. When we integrate the model with OpenStreetMap, just by adding a new map theme, well, there had to be a little more program, but that's basically it. Something everybody outside KDE wrote about the model. We've even seen a number of newspaper articles about it, just because of this integration. And the work itself was pretty small, a couple of hours. So, this is all good, right? But there's a dark side to integration too. If you were at Sebastian Lindström's talk yesterday, the director of technology strategy from Nokia, he said this. Anybody can choose any desktop platform, meaning employees of Nokia. But let's face it, Microsoft applications work best with Microsoft infrastructure. And this means that you can actually use integration within your own sphere to exclude others. And how does this work? Well, you do it the same way as if you have open integration, but you don't document it. So you don't document your protocols and file formats, or you make subtle changes or even extensions to them. And suddenly you have a well integrated feature set, and others can't use it unless they back, unless they reverse engineer protocols or whatever. But you do have to have a monopoly to do this. So it's not in our best interest to integrate with KDE, but not, for instance, with GNOME applications. And it's not in our best interest to just integrate with free desktop, but I say also with Windows and Macintosh and stuff like that. If we want to be evil in 5 or 10 years, we can make that decision then, but I'm not sure. So the bottom line is, integration has a great value. You should restructure your programs to use other things and to make available. And this will give you more users. The users you already have will be happier. And it will also help newbies come into your project. It's easier to program a new project. Okay, that's it. Now, everybody, for 10 seconds, think about how can you restructure or